very positively in many ways there. We're going to try to carry that on and make a few changes at the same time. So all that said, you know, we're looking forward to it. We've got, you know, some rule changes have been made. And, of course, with that being said, you know, there's obviously been some discussion about that. But everything that we're doing, we put a lot of time and effort and research into, and we feel like it's all going to be for the betterment of racing, long-term especially. And we plan on this being a long-term arrangement.
Well, let me ask you, do you have before, obviously, the ARCA race coming up, but it's March 7th through the 9th. It's all going to start. And I love what you guys are doing out at the battleship. You're going to have the cars. You're going to have the haulers. You're going to have the teams out there, make it a big family day. Talk about even more of a, almost like a NASCAR experience. But will you have any practice dates set up for the local drivers before that ARCA race comes to test out some of the cars? I know a lot of us are rebuilding our cars and getting ready for this season. And there might be some rule changes in the bombers. Haven't looked yet that we might have to apply. And we definitely would want, like the other classes, some testing. What have you guys come up with, or have you even got that far yet?
Well, the answer is yes and no at the same time. We are going to have some test dates. Probably within the next week, we'll be able to tell you what those are going to be.
Oh,
once again, you know, Tommy's got that deal set up at the battleship, and that's going to be a pretty cool event. Prior to that, on March the 2nd, is an ARCA test day, what would be normally been the local test day, but that's already scheduled. So we're going to have some scheduled test dates. We'll be letting everybody know within the next week. They may be Friday night practices. You know, if we can catch it open Saturday, of course, the Rusty Wallace Driving Experience is scheduled to come in on a weekend in February. So a lot of things happening, and it's all happening pretty fast. But, you know, stay tuned to the MIS website and to the Facebook page, and we'll keep everybody in the loop as quickly as we can state it as fact.
Well, let me ask you, as a promoter, I know last year working at both tracks, seeing the crowds, I know Mobile seemed to have less of a crowd than what we saw at Five Flag Speedway. The weather, you know, we had issues with it like we always do every year. But let me ask you, as a promoter coming into a new track at Mobile, what kind of changes do you see trying to get more people in the stands? Are there more $5 nights coming? Are there more, you know, buy one, get one free campaign? I mean, what do you do as a promoter to try to get people to excitement? I know as a driver and as a race team and as a fan, I'm going to be there. But what about getting those new fans into the stands?
Well, I'll tell you, Kane, we certainly don't have a magic wand when
right.
it comes to that. But what I can tell you is this, and of course, you mentioned the weather. It was our biggest nemesis at both tracks last year. You know, with the exception of our December weekend, which is so important to us in Pensacola, we didn't actually have a banner year at Five Flags with attendance either.
Right.
But, I mean, here's the one thing that we really want to work on hard. Is we want to try to get our racers to all come together with the rules packages that we have. And, you know, once the dust settles from all that, we really want to try to get people in a positive frame of mind heading into the 2013 season. Because I'll tell you, you mentioned it, the success of any speedway, certainly what we're hoping for at MIS, is to get that attendance level back up.
Sure.
And, of course, you know, we've got some ad campaigns on the burner that we're hoping will help that. But the most important thing is we need all the racers on our team. When I mentioned the team effort, you know, that is race fans and racers included, crew members.
Yeah.
We need people talking positive about Mobile International Speedway and getting their friends and their friends and their friends to all come check out the racing. Because I'll tell you, the racing is good. We just got to get folks out there, get them exposed to it, and then I think we can get them to come back.
Are you taking reservations now for Five Flag Speedway? You guys haven't had your awards banquet. That's coming up on the 12th. How do we get tickets for that?
Simply call the Speedway office. You can make your reservation over the phone. And, of course, any of the Mobile racers are certainly welcome to come.
Oh, yeah.
We've got at the Interstate Fairgrounds, we actually have lots of room. So 300 has always been our magic number on attendance, but we can actually accommodate more. We're going to have a lot of fun and, of course, recognize our 2012 champions, talk a little bit about what's coming up in 2013, and it'll be a really, really fun night. The cost of admission is $15. It's being catered by Wayne's Diner, some excellent food.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun. It'll start at 6 p.m. It'll be a fairly early night. By 8:30, we'll probably be done.
Well, in Pensacola, you guys are also getting ready for the kickoff. 130 miles an hour around that track seems pretty quick. But when you got a huge wing on your car and you're the fastest short track cars in the world, you can pull it off. You guys got something huge coming.
Well, we do. It's the Royal Oak Southern Shootout for the second year. The must-see Extreme Sprint Car Series based out of Michigan will be opening their 2013 season here on the Gulf Coast. They'll be here on Friday night, March 22nd, at MIS on Saturday night, March 23rd.
Can't wait.
As you said, the world's fastest short track car. Watching time trials, Kane, is breathtaking in itself. No wonder watching, you know, 20 or 30 of them out there together.
Oh, yeah, it is amazing. And then also I want to touch on the ticket sales for the K&N event you guys have coming up.
Yeah, simply, once again, follow the Speedway office. Our tickets are being printed as we speak, but we're taking reserve seat reservations. This will be the first non-Snowball Derby event we've ever done reserve seating for, but it will be done much the same fashion that we do for the Snowball, a reserve seat for most nights at the NASCAR K&N series. It will be the NAPA 150. Our $35 gets in for both nights, so... we're looking forward to that. A lot of hype is building towards that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Tim, we're excited, and we'll be working with you both tracks again this year, getting you guys on the air, getting all the updates up there, and obviously letting all the fans and racers know what time to get their butts in the seats, because I expect a pretty good season, and with both tracks working together, it's just going to be better for everyone involved.
Well, I mean, we think so. We've got our schedules arranged to where some of the divisions might race on a Friday and not on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They might not race on Friday so that they can go on Saturday. Something else that's very special, we're going to be announcing, is there's going to be a little incentive for guys that that run both tracks. We'll be letting you know perhaps as early as next Saturday on your show, if you'll allow it. We'll be telling about that, and we'll put some extra pieces into the puzzle.
Well, thanks, Tim. We appreciate you coming on board this morning and giving us the latest information. Again, that's exciting to have Tim Bryant from Five Flag Speedway and Mobile International Speedway, and probably a pretty big announcement about the two tracks working together as soon as next week on the show. So, Tim, thank you so much. More racing to continue. You betcha. We're just getting started. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5 and podcast later at usfdracing.org. And welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5 and later podcast at usfdracing.org. And again, thanks to Tim Bryant coming on now with not only Five Flag Speedway, but Mobile International Speedway. A lot of exciting things happening. And here's a guy that's going to be in the mix of it, Ricky Brooks. He's going to be the chief technical inspector. He's already at several tracks, including Five Flag Speedway. But now he returns this year to Mobile International Speedway. And even today, he's working. The first race of the season on the 5th in New Smyrna. It's the Red Eye 100. And Ricky, man, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kane.
Well, I should say, welcome back to Mobile International.
Yeah, it's we're proud to be back over there.
You know, well, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, who Ricky Brooks is. You know, you hear, especially Speed51.com, and you see during the Snowball Derby, you've even got T-shirts made, the Room of the Doom, Room of Doom, I should say. But you are probably one of the best chief inspectors, not just on the mid-side level of the smaller tracks, but you've done this, traveling with series and stuff, and you're about to do it again with another series. But tell us how you got involved in racing and why you do even still bring the helmet every once in a while to a racetrack.
Well, I've been involved in racing since I was a small child, but I started racing when I was 16 and raced late models, open wheel modified, stuff like that.
Yeah,
just been around it all my life.
Well, what made you get the transition? Obviously, you've had success racing, and as of just as recently as last year, running with Mitch Smith in that 33. Obviously, you'll probably do some racing, but you're going to be busy. But what made you decide to take the switch, take the helmet off, and start doing the tech inspecting? How'd you get involved on that side of racing, Ricky?
Well, I mean, it's money, you know.
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money to race, and I was helping Sammy McMullins with his modified, and I wasn't doing any racing, and Tim approached me back in the winter that year, and it just went off from there, you know.
Well, you know, and yeah, I mean, you've got NASCAR drivers that are afraid to go through your tech, so that says something, and that's just a testament of what you do and what you bring to a track. Let me ask you, the rules are now out at fiveflagspeedway.com and mobilespeedway.net. Let me ask you some of the changes are, and I know a lot of the truck drivers, it's been on Facebook, the rules are back up there. What are the big changes, and what are the major rules that we're going to see in the truck division new this year at Mobile International, Ricky?
Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot of changes in any class, to be honest.
Okay.
The truck class, we're just implementing a 602 crate engine, which okay. is a cheap crate engine, and it's a real good motor. It'll last. You know, we've had guys run them 2 and 3 years and never even going in them. So
wow.
I think that's going to help the truck class more than anything.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of people that are building them. I know several of the bomber drivers. I know Brandon Tipton's going to have one, J.J. Day again this year. Also, I believe the 41 also going to move up. So there's going to be several drivers moving into that class. What do you think is going to happen at Mobile with that class?
I think the class is going to take off, personally. I think it's going to take off real quick.
You know, and I know the rules, talking with Tim Bryant before, that he plans on having them come out to Five Flags at least 5 times this year. Do you see maybe a spot in the coveted Snowball Derby maybe for trucks this year?
It just depends on how well the class takes off, you know. If it takes off, then I see Tim doing something. But it all depends. It'll probably be something that won't even be looked at until probably mid-season. But, I mean, that's Tim's call there, you know.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts on coming back to Mobile International Speedway? What can you tell drivers that will be different from last year to this year? What does Ricky Brooks bring to the table back in the tech inspection area?
Well, I think most of them respect what we do as a whole. I mean, it's not just me coming back, but it's all the people that helps me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't do everything by myself, by no means. If it wasn't for the guys that helped me, I couldn't do it. And all those guys are coming back. And they can expect what they used to get over there, you know.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, I've seen some teardown rules and things, even all the way down into the bomber class. But like you said, for the most part, no real major changes. Everything seems to be looking like it kind of was a couple years ago.
Exactly.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, we're glad to have you back. Now, you're going to be doing some racing. I know we talked a little bit off the air. What's your modified schedule look like?
I'm going to run the Rattler with the modified, and I'm on a big Tech and Lake models at the Rattler. And after that, I don't really have any definite plans. My schedule's not going to allow a ton of racing.
That's true.
Myself, what racing I will be doing is when I'm not working at the track, I'll be taking my son racing.
Yeah, I wanted to hit that. You built a car. What kind of car did you build him this off the off season?
I built a new dirt car. It's a vintage car.
Nice.
I'll put my 14-year-old son in it and have some fun with him.
Oh, I guarantee you, he's already a racer. I mean, it's in his roots, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Ricky, we appreciate you coming on and just kind of clarifying some things about the rules and obviously the package. What one more thing before we let you go this morning, because I know you've got to get over there and get ready to start teching, but what do you think the partnership now with Miss Ida and Tim Bryant is going to bring to local racers as a team and also to the fans in the stands? What is going to be good about this partnership and this promoter?
I think you're going to see a big change over there personally. Consistency. And it's going to go back to the way it used to be over there, is my hopes, you know. Where a lot of people in the grandstands, a lot of cars in the pit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, that, again, they've got that 16 events that they've come up with. It's the Southern Super Series, and this is a big thing. How much did you have to put into this, and what are the tracks that are going to be involved? It looks like Five Flags. You've got Gresham, Montgomery, Mobile's involved, and even Tennessee Fairgrounds in Nashville. That's huge.
I wouldn't say it's just one person individually. It's just a group of people that put that deal together.
Mm-hmm.
One person can't take credit for all of it. I think that's going to be big for super racing in the South.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's needed to happen for a while, and I think you're going to see it take off.
Yeah, I think that's going to be something cool. Did you have much to do with, or are you going to be traveling with that series?
I'm handling all the tech for this.
Wow. Yeah, you know, they picked the right guy. Well, I know you're going to be busy today, and I know you've also got a lot of racing to continue. We look forward to having you back at Mobile International Speedway, and we appreciate you coming on this morning and kind of clarifying some of the things about the rules. Welcome back home to Mobile there, Ricky.
Appreciate it.
Want to try me? Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5 and later today podcast at usfdracing.org. And again, well, thank you for Ricky Brooks for coming on this morning, and also a great interview already from Tim Bryant this morning. Kind of tell us a little bit about the cooperation between the two tracks, and excited also, still so much to come. We've got Tommy Prater coming in next with the ARCA race, and Tommy's been a huge part of getting ARCA and NASCAR to Mobile, and so for the first time ever, Tommy Prater on the show. Good morning, Tommy, and hey, thanks for getting up with us this morning. I appreciate you.
Good morning, Kane. It's fun talking about ARCA. It's fun to be talking about Mobile International Speedway, racing along the Gulf Coast. You know, we're on such a huge upswing here the last few years, both Mobile and Pensacola. It's just a great time to be involved in racing.
Well, in what you have been able to do with the city of Mobile and a few other folks to bring ARCA into this level, and if you missed the race last year, and I don't know how you did, because it was packed, it was sold out, and it was probably one of the best races I've seen at Mobile International Speedway. Those cars with Cale Gale, the home guy, to take the win, it was an incredible experience. But you got it another second year, and it all starts March 7th. And this, you're doing something different, and I love it. You're going to have, and this is cool, all the cars and all the haulers out of the battleship. Talk about it, Tommy.
You know, we're always expanding the footprint of the race, and it took so many people, along with our city leaders and convention and visitors people, to get the race here. And you know, Tom Claxton, a big part of local racing, was a big part of making sure that this race got to Mobile. Yeah. And so we're continuing to expand the footprint. And this year, our first step outside of what's happening at the racetrack is Thursday afternoon at the battleship. And it's the battle starts at the battleship on Thursday. We've got the haulers, the teams, the cars, the drivers. Yep. It's going to be a great fan experience to start race weekend. Now, you take all of those people at the battleship, which is all for free on Thursday afternoon, then we're turning them loose to our great seafood restaurants on the Causeway for the Causeway Seafood Jubilee. The restaurants are turning out in force, offering specials for race fans and race teams and race drivers. Wow. And so we're going to send them to the Causeway from 6 to 8. And then at 8 o'clock, we're sending them downtown for the Home Mortgage America Green Flag Party down at Grand Central for that group, which is not me anymore, but for that group, you know, that wants to be 8 and on, the party will be on downtown all night Thursday night.
Do you think the Moose will be downtown?
You know, he is a regular downtown, and I understand that if you need like a hands-on a tour of Dolphin Street, that he may be your guy.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we'll talk about him in a little bit too, because he's had a whirlwind with ARCA the past several months, doing a lot of things. But as we continue now, the biggest thing is these tickets are available now. It's not hard to get tickets. Now, you have also, is it going to be like we had it last year? Do you have reserved parking? Are you going to be able to camp? And also, what about bringing in trucks and haulers? Because I tell you, I plan on bringing the race team in like we did last year and enjoying it from one turn or turn two. You can buy reserve spots there too, I believe, right?
You know, for fans that were there last year and who had an opportunity to come, and all of the mapping, and we've done a lot of work on mapping so the fans can understand a little bit better about how to get around at the Speedway on ARCA weekend, because it is different than the rest of the year. Yeah. Can you go to mobilespeedway.net and click on the ticket logo there, and it'll take them to the maps and all the different types of tickets that are available. So we've got basically the footprint that you saw last year of all the different type ticket plans. We actually, you try to enhance it every year. The first thing we did is we came up with the infield parking pass.
Yeah.
So for, I believe it's $100, you get your reserved infield parking spot and two infield passes for the entire weekend for $100.
You can't beat that.
It's just a fabulous deal. Then, you know, we also listened to the fans. Uh-huh. And we got feedback about a couple of things. Hmm. The first thing is that the AA section on our list, fans said, hey, this is normally the non-alcohol family section.
Oh.
And we said, you know what? Okay, you're right. And so when you look at the ticket chart, the double A section, for those who want to have a good time, that maybe alcohol is not involved in your idea of a good time, mm-hmm. which is one of the people, you know, we got a lot of those.
Yeah.
The double A section is where you want to be. It's our family section.
That's cool that you're doing that, because I know that's huge during the regular season. And officers keep that very, I mean, there's never been a problem. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, you got to listen to the yeah. fans. Then the next thing we heard was, you know what, this is great, but you know, we're used to having a spot for kids. Uh-huh. And I said, you're right. So we took the section going down into turn one, mm-hmm. and we created a kids zone. And uh-huh. so there's a special reserved kids ticket price in that kids zone area down there, which will save the families some money that are bringing in kids.
That's awesome.
So, you know, we're trying to make sure that everybody has a spot at the Arkamobile 200, and we're continuing to develop the plan. You know, you're in year number two, you mm-hmm. know, and as yeah. I tell folks, year number one was crisis management. You know,
it's awesome.
You know, we had like 3 or 4 months yeah. to put together a race, and we'd never had a reserve seat at Mobile International
yeah.
Speedway.
Yeah.
So now you move forward, and we're able to pick up great corporate partners this year.
Who are some FedEx, of those? Are you ready to announce those?
Yeah, I mean, FedEx has signed on as the sponsor in the VIP corporate tent in the center of the infield this year.
Great.
And, you know, when you can attract big partners like FedEx, you know, you're starting to make an impact in the community.
Yeah.
We got several others that I think we'll probably announce at our next press conference here in a few weeks, and they're continuing to come in, but it's been a fun time. All of the media outlets in Mobile, including 106.5, have been very helpful in bringing the race to everybody.
Yeah.
And but I'm telling you, when you look at our seating chart this year, infield camping is already sold out.
Wow.
outfield camping is getting close to being sold out.
Jeez.
Some of the great reserve seats, you know, those top row seats, mm-hmm. those are almost all sold out. So, I mean, if folks want a ticket, you know, the best of the best, they need to get on the telephones and get them going. But I tell you, we've really tried to take what the fans told us last year mm-hmm. and add to this year's race.
Well, and thank you, because we have got tickets for the Friday qualifying races, got tons of pairs of those, and also we're going to put them together for races for the ARCA race itself. So thank you for the tickets, and we'll start that next week, and everybody can obviously check it out on Facebook, Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Not hard to find it. Look it up, and then I'll have all sorts of trivia questions, but also we're going to do some live interaction on the phone next weekend for these tickets. So that's a very appreciative thing. So what is it taking to get ARCA to come back a third time? What do we have to do to prove to them that, hey, this has been a success? And, you know, I know the generation, I mean, just the buzz at the track at Daytona is all about Mobile like it was last year. So how do we keep that coming back continually? Is it the sponsors, or do we just show them a good time? I mean, what does it take, Tommy?
Well, I think from our folks here at Mobile, we got to continue to show them a good time.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere we went for the rest of the 2012 season, mm-hmm. we had crew members, car owners coming up to us and saying, man, we really yeah. had a good time in Mobile, and yeah. we can't wait to come back.
Yeah, and that's
so, awesome. You know, and that's a big part of that. Then, you know, we have to continue, as we did this year, the Thursday night event. You know, we're selling more hotel rooms mm-hmm. by having a Thursday night event.
Yeah.
And so we're increasing the footprint, you know, the Battleship, the restaurants on the Causeway, and downtown Mobile are all going to feel a significant impact from the race coming to Mobile this year. So, you know, to get the city leaders to get behind you and the convention people to get behind you again, that's the kind of things you have to do. But number one for everybody out there is continue to show these race teams and car owners a great time when they come to Mobile.
A little Southern pride from Mobile, that's not a problem, I can tell you that. Well Tommy, real quick, I know you can get the tickets at mobilespeedway.net. What's the phone number at the Speedway as well?
Well, the ticket number is 251-343-2929.
Okay, 343-2929.
Yes.
That's a 251 area code. Real quick, we've got about 2 minutes left, and we've got to move on because we've got an encore presentation of an interview with Ricky Carmichael. But before that, the Moose, your son, as a papa, you've got to be one of the proudest dads, because here you're seeing, I remember watching him when I was announcing at Sunny South when he did the Bandoleros. Now he's racing ARCA. He tested at Daytona. What's that like as a dad? And also, what is the Moose living like?
Well, you know, he's living the dream.
Yeah.
I don't think for a local driver, and I consider Thomas to be a local driver, he's not one of these guys that had a big money dad, and he started racing late models right out of the chute. Yeah. You know, he started with old yard cart down at NJ Speedway.
That's right.
And, you know, he's made his way all the way through the ranks.
Yeah.
And well, it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible. It's been a lot of fun.
That's cool. I can tell in your voice and your heart that you're proud of your son, and that's awesome. We're going to get the Moose on next week to talk about it, but you're doing a lot of good for the racing community down here, Tommy, and also for the city of Mobile. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, doing everything you're doing for this show and also for our fans all around. You've got a racing show in town as well on 105, and you do a great job on there, and it's all about promoting racing right now, and that's what we're doing. So, Tommy, it's been great to have you on the show, and I guarantee you, before it's over, you'll be back on, won't you, brother?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk some more tickets. We'll talk some more ARCA Mobile 200. We're going to fill all of our shows up with a lot of cool ARCA drivers as we get headed down into Daytona here and headed up to the ARCA Mobile 200. There Thanks for having us all.
Oh, glad to do it. There's Tommy Prater again. Stand by next in a few minutes. We've got an encore presentation of an interview just a couple years ago from Ricky Carmichael. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. As always, got to thank the sponsors, Mobile International Speedway. Also, thanks to Ed's Seafood Shed, some of the best food on the causeway. You got to get to Ed's, world-famous coleslaw, I'm telling you. And I'm excited about this next person. He currently drives a number 4 Monster Energy Chevrolet Silverado for Turner Motorsports in the Camping World Truck Series, but he's done so much more than that. What an honor it is to have Ricky Carmichael live in the studios. Good morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you, and glad to be here. Glad to be here. It was a good plane flight over, and here I am.
That's right. Saturday morning, and you know, first of all, I want to talk about the reason why you came into Mobile, the Talladega Amp Energy 500 weekend. It's coming up October 29th through the 31st. I saw some amazing pictures in the infield. Not only the racing good, but that's a big party weekend at Talladega.
It is an awesome place. Awesome people. I mean, the you know, just the feeling and the ambiance of the race weekend is just unbelievable. Anybody who I try to get to come to their first NASCAR race, I'm like, you got to go to Talladega. It's
why? Why is that?
Just the atmosphere of it is just so much fun. Like you said, the infield, Talladega Boulevard, not to mention how good the racing is. It's just amazing. Like I said, I always tell people, like, man, you got to go. It's like a grown-up spring break. And
that's a good way to look at it.
The kids can have fun as well. It is just an awesome place. It's kind of like Las Vegas. You can't explain it to somebody. You just got to go there and check it out. So we're really excited for it being on Halloween weekend this weekend. It's going to be an epic weekend, there's no doubt, and I can't wait to get there, and I don't know, hopefully I'll get a win by then, but if not, maybe that'll be a great place to get your first one.
And you've had some great runs in. You know, before we get talking into the truck series, let's talk about where you got started. Obviously, everyone knows you as the national motocross champion, the guru, they call you the GOAT for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
What is it like to have that follow you into another sport? Because here you are a world champion at the top level. Mm-hmm. Did you get bored? Why'd you retire, honestly?
Well, I was at the end of my road, basically, and had accomplished so much. I was very fortunate. Always put myself in great positions, surrounding myself with good people, as you have to do in any sport. You know, you're only as good as the people you got surrounding you and giving you information. So was very fortunate, worked very hard. And I met Casey Kane in 2004 at the Daytona 500. And later on that summer, his agent gave me a call and provided me my first stock car ride to test, actually. And, man, one thing led to another. And I knew that I didn't have too many more years left.
Is that the body? Is it because, I mean, you guys really, that kind of racing, motocross, is it harder?
Very hard. You know, during the week you're practicing so much, you know, and, you know, you're a lot of pounding on your body. And not that I could have went, you know, a lot longer and done this, but I was happy with what I accomplished. I felt like my book was complete. It really was.
And I got a
great opportunity to do this. So I turned the page, and it's been a fun ride. I expected it to be hard. I've always been the type of person that, you know, expect the worst and hope for the best. So that's what I'm doing, and it's been good. And, you know, if you're, you know, fair with your assumption on how I'm going to do. I think that I've been able to hold my own, and really this year has been a huge turnaround. It's like the light bulb's kind of clicking.
Is it because the change from Kevin Harvick Motorsports to Turner Motorsports? Obviously, you came with them. Cale Gale, friend of the show, was going to run trucks. You came in with the Monster money, and you got the ride. And it was a good start. Did it just whet your appetite? What was missing from that combination at Kevin Harvick's?
No, it was actually good. I was it was down to the last minute, and I didn't have the commitment yet from Monster. And then like 2 weeks later, it came. But I definitely have to give it up to Kevin Harvick himself and Delana. They've been a huge part of my success, and he actually put me in line with Turner Motorsports.
Oh, wow.
He actually lined the whole deal up. And he
no ill feelings.
Oh, absolutely not. He was a huge part of putting this deal together. Also, one reason he did this was to he knew that Steve Turner had the opportunity and the connections to get me more seat time, and Kevin knows that's what I need. So that's how that deal happened. And we all know how great he is. He's a great racer, and I mean, heck, he won Talladega a couple months ago. So I owe a lot to him because he's where I am right now.
When you first came in 2009 in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, you were instantly welcomed from the fans. You were rated the number one, you know, driver, fan friendly. What does that mean for somebody coming in? Now, honestly, you already have your fans. Do you see a lot of your motorcycle fans following you to the track?
Absolutely. You know, I definitely have the best fans in the world. I won the Camping World East Series is the most popular driver, and then last year in the Truck Series is the most popular driver, and I didn't even race the whole series, and I'm up amongst some great other competitors, Ron Hornaday, Mike Skinner, Bodine. So I definitely have the best fans in the world. There's no doubt about it, and a lot of them have. When I go to a motorcycle race, you wouldn't believe how many people tell me, "We never used to watch NASCAR, but we watch it now because of you."
So you're turning in a lot of new people to that sport.
Well, I'd like to think so, and it's cool. So I'm like, well, thank you. So I definitely got to give a shout out to my fans from motocross that now watch NASCAR. I always tell them it's the greatest sport in the world, and I'm trying my hard to gain my fans in NASCAR racing. I really am.
Are you starting to see that? And what about the drivers? Are they now respecting you now? They're not thinking you're the flavor of the month?
Well, I think some drivers always have that hang up, but I will tell you this, the respect level that the NASCAR drivers have is amazing. I've gotten a warm welcome. I really have. It would have been so easy for them guys to be jealous and just had turned their back on me. But every time I go to a race, I just can't believe how warm and receptive they are. And the fans as well. I can't believe how loyal the fans are in NASCAR racing. They're very loyal.
Well, and I noticed I went to your Facebook page, and you have from kids to adults to grandparents, you know, something like 10,000 fans there begging you to come ride with them. Yeah. Stories about how you've signed a child's cast and made their life, essentially. Yeah. And we were talking just before we started an interview. Family is very important to you. How do you judge, or not judge, but how do you juggle everything that you have to do with your career, these kind of commitments like you're doing today, and then still balance the fact that your kids are on summer break?
Yeah, family is huge. My parents, like any good story you hear, I mean, they really sacrificed a lot to get where I was. I mean, we lived in a motorhome for 2 years, and my mom had to work the races just so they'd waive my sign-up fees when I was a young rider. And I think that's – and I was raised to do it right or don't do it at all. And so I'm – you know, they are a huge part of my success, especially my mother. I mean, she went to the track with me all the time and took my lap times and helped me. When we went to a riding school, she'd be the one that was listening. My dad surely helped on the mechanic side of things, but he normally let my mom do the talking. Only time he would speak up if he really felt that something wasn't right. But family is huge. I'm a big supporter of family. Every Tuesday night we have family dinner at my parents' house.
Great.
Yeah,
does that still happen?
Oh, it happens all the time. Every Tuesday night, absolutely. So we do that, and of course I have two children of my own, twins, a boy and a girl, and it's
fatherhood's great, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's fun. A lot of work. They test you. You know that they put you to the test. Three and a half year olds running around. There's a lot of negotiating going on.
Is that what you call it? That's a good political answer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's fun. Family, at the end of the day, that's all you got is family.
You know, you got started doing some super late model racing with Mark Martin.
Mm-hmm.
What was Mark Martin like, and what did you learn from Mark?
Yeah, Mark was a great guy. He is. He was instrumental in my help at the beginning stages, racing those super late models. He wanted me to put me in a car that had a lot of horsepower, very light, to teach me car control. And because eventually, you know, we want to be in the cup level, and those things have a lot of horsepower. So he was instrumental. I wish he could have spent more time with me, but he was busy. But I was thankful for the time that he did give me and all the support he gave me.
What would you say to the young kids starting out listening? Because, again, we have all age groups listening. To get into motocross or get into any kind of motor racing, why do it, and what's the best way to do it?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, if you're going to start it, you got to start it because you want to do it, right, and you want to have fun, not because your parents want you to do it. You know, and I see that case. It's really bad in motorcycle racing where the parents want to win worse than the kids do, and I just really don't like to see that. And we start doing things because we like to do it. Mm-hmm. And secondly, and most importantly, is if you're riding a motorcycle, you know, just do what you feel comfortable doing. Don't go out there and try to impress anyone, because, you know, accidents can happen. You can hurt yourself. You know, you don't have the protection around you like you do in a car. So, you know, in a race car. So that's the biggest thing. Just do what you feel comfortable doing and always give it 100%.
Talk about broken bones and injuries you've had.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky. You know, through my whole career, I've only broken three bones that I know of.
Maybe that you know of.
Yeah, that I know of. Smaller ones, you know, in your hands or fingers, I really don't count. But just the bigger ones, and then both of my ACLs fixed. But so 26 years of racing, that's pretty good.
That's better than me. I broke my neck and back in go karts.
So, I still race
though, but you know.
Yeah.
Bigger cars.
Yeah. That's, you know, the go-kart deal is cool. We got a little track. I live in Tallahassee. There's a pretty cool go-kart track in Monticello, Florida, actually. They got a good track there. And I think it's great for young kids to drive go-karts. I'd love for my son to do that. Hopefully he'll want to do that.
But again, you're going to do that thing where you're going to let him decide.
Yeah, I'll give him an option. If he wants to do it, he's all for it. If he don't want to do it, then, hey, I'll support whatever he wants to do.
Well, I want to talk about Talladega. That's the reason why you're here, to promote it.
Yep.
Tell us about some of the new things. I see that this is kind of cool. The Gadskin section, Q through R's family section, no smoking or alcohol free. That's new this year, which I think is great. But it's 29th through the 31st. Again, the Amp Energy 500 weekend. You guys will be racing in the Mountain Dew 250, fueled by Fred's NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. What's it like to take a lap around Talladega? Because it's not the average monster.
No. Talladega is an amazing racetrack. Just, you know, it's really smooth. It's just fun. I wish every fan that comes there could take a lap on there. You know,
I agree.
I really do. And I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, it's on Halloween weekend. The fans there are just awesome. I think NASCAR has the best fans in the world, and the most loyal, I should say, also on top of that. So I can't wait to get there. It's just like I'm chomping at the bit, and we're going to go there. We're going to be ready. I think we're going to have a great truck there. I can't wait to see the fans there. They were awesome to me last year, and I mean, the fans can expect some great racing like always, and plenty of nightlife, and the kids will be able to have a great time too.
Yeah, and the prices are lowered again.
Yes,
ticket prices
in
the new seats range $60 in the Gadsden and Lincoln to $70 in Talladega, and $75 for the rest.
Yeah, you cannot beat that. You know, with the noise, the sound, everything
smells,
you
everything.
See. Yeah, I mean, it's just, the atmosphere is unbelievable. It really is. And you know, sometimes when they're like, man, I love them racing, but it'd be cool just to be a fan to go there. Just so much fun.
Well, we're talking with Ricky Carmichael. One thing that you would like to do after NASCAR? I mean, think about it. You're at the truck level. Do you want to take it to the top tier?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm doing this, right, is to get to Sprint Cup level. That
monster behind you probably all the way.
Yeah,
like
I hope so. I hope so. They're on the hook for a couple years, so that's
good.
Sorry,
Robbie Gordon.
they've been awesome with me. I've been with Monster Energy for since 2005, when they first kind of started surfacing, and picked them up in motocross. And I tell you what, the people behind the scenes there are great people. And they've supported me, got a great relationship with them, and I'd love for them to enjoy the ride, and they are the reason I am here in NASCAR today, obviously. And I just want to be able to return the favor to them, win some races, and eventually win some championships.
Donnie Farnell in Mobile, Alabama, off our Facebook page, wanted to ask you, is there any chance of you ever going back doing any special motocross? I mean, you've done everything from the Xbox, and you hear that everywhere you go.
Yeah, you know, they. I got my fans always like, when are you going to come back and race? And I'm just like,
I'm racing now, man.
I'm racing now. Come watch me race NASCAR, yeah. You know, Camping World Truck Series. But, man, I just... And it's just
you've done that.
Yeah, I mean, done with it. You know, I test here and there, and I do think it would be cool for them to have a Legends race. That would be cool. But as far as me suiting up and getting back and doing some races at the top level, if I'm going to do it for one race, I might as well do it the whole series. Yeah. Just because I'm not going to do it half step, and I'm going to do it like I'm going there to win the championship.
Well, the thing is, you don't have any more rooms for those trophies. No. You got to save room for the trucks, right?
Man, I've won enough races in motocross and accomplished all that I want to accomplish. But I would like to do some legend race stuff. If the promoters could put some stuff together like that, I think it'd be cool for the fans.
Well, I think it's really cool you stopped by this morning. Ricky Carmichael, we appreciate you coming down to Mobile, Alabama.
Glad to be here.
What are your thoughts? Everyone talks down here about the oil situation.
Yeah, I have a place in Destin, so, obviously we're all kind of, it does, but, it is what it is, and this, and I hate that saying, by the way. You know, it's like, that seems like that's what everyone loves to say now, but... This country and people are resilient. Look at how things have rebounded from Katrina, and it seems like the economy is trying to turn around for the better, even with everything that's happening in the Gulf. We all have to work together. We all have to be as one, and it's a bummer, but it's what we're faced with, and we got to make the best of it. I'd like to thank everybody for helping. Like I said, I'm a victim as well. I have a place, on the Gulf Coast. It's a shame, but it's what we're faced with, and we just got to stick together.
All right, there's Ricky Carmichael. He's wrapping up the show, and what a great show it was. Thank you so much for listening. Next weekend, we have a huge, big, big show. ARCA tickets to give away to the Mobile 200. The president of Daytona International Speedway, he's got an amazing story and more. Hang on, we've got more racing next weekend. Keep face on with us at Facebook. Not hard to find. Full Throttle Racing with Kane. God bless y'all. See you next weekend.